Special funding for the podcast of On Point is provided by Boston University School of Law, dedicated to excellence in teaching and to preparing lawyers for global challenges.
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. It's the final presidential debate tonight, and final days for John McCain to turn his struggling campaign around. Squeezed by economic news, lagging badly in the polls, and under fire for angry attacks on Barack Obama, McCain needs to work fast. But what exactly does he need to do? He's had comebacks in the past. This would have to be a big one. This hour on Point, the state of McCain. We're joined first today from New York by well-known political pollster Frank Luntz. His clients have included Newt Gingrich and Rudy Giuliani. He's been running post-debate focus groups for Fox News. He's author of Words That Work. Frank Luntz, thanks very much for being with us.
It's both an honor and a pleasure.
Well, look at the numbers with us. You're the pollster. What's McCain looking at?
Well, he's looking at states. There are four different blocks that voters should be looking at. States that he had hoped he might take from the Kerry camp back in 2004, specifically New Hampshire and Michigan. Both those states have melted away. Both of them now have double-digit leads for Obama. Second set of states are states that he knew that he might lose that Bush had won, Iowa, New Mexico, again, double-digit leads for Kerry.
For Obama.
The third set of states are the Colorado and Nevada, those states that Bush barely won in 2004 and that McCain was leading up until 2-3 weeks ago. Those states have moved away, and finally, Florida, Ohio, and Missouri, big states, double-digit electoral votes. Most of the polling shows that they have moved away from John McCain. Right now, he's looking at a map where if he were, he would have to win every single swing state to be able to win this election, and that has just never happened.
If it moved away that fast, can it move back to him just as quickly, Frank?
The best that a debate can do in 2008 is about a 5-point movement, and that would require John McCain to deliver perfection tonight and for Barack Obama to make a few mistakes. The challenge for McCain is to personalize this election. In the work I've been doing with swing voters, I found that they're not looking for healthcare solutions. They're looking for what's going to impact them. They don't want to know about changes to the tax code. They want to know how much more taxes they will pay. They have now personalized this election with only 20 days to go, and they want to know what does it mean to them.
You're looking there state or segment by segment, and it looks bad in each of them, kind of incredibly. Even in Florida, Ohio, the national numbers, McCain double digits now in many of the polls behind Barack Obama. Is this surmountable? Are we on our way to a landslide? Is it silly to say that with 2 weeks and some still to go, Frank?
It is still too early to say, although let's talk about some factors that didn't exist before. Okay. Early voting means that you may have 15 or 20% of Americans who will have cast ballots before Election Day. In fact, some states have opened up already even before this final debate. And so John McCain doesn't have a chance to catch up among voters who've already participated. Second point is that the public has yet to really take into account that not only would you have a Democratic president should Obama win, but you will have huge majorities in the House, and it's looking like a very big majority in the Senate for Democrats, and so the public has to make a decision. Do I really want one party to have that much power? All of these factors are going into play over these last 20 days.
Let's look at the pieces of this. Florida, now how has that moved to McCain? There was a lot of concern about the Jewish vote in Florida among Obama supporters, thinking it might go to McCain. What's the Jewish vote look like today?
I've actually looked at the Jewish vote. As recently as the end of August, McCain was getting in the mid-30s and Obama was getting in the mid-50s. Now, understand that the typical Democratic candidate, presidential candidate, gets between 75 and 80% of the Jewish vote. And with Obama in the mid-50s, that put Florida in the McCain camp. However, other voters have moved away from John McCain over the last 5 weeks because of the economy. And in the end, people who are over age 55, who are looking at retirement issues, economic security, have made the decision that whatever their concerns are about Barack Obama and his judgment are outweighed by their concerns about John McCain and how he would handle the economy, which is why Florida went from a plus four for McCain to a plus four for Obama at this stage in the election.
What about the Latino vote? Very important in New Mexico, Colorado, and elsewhere. McCain had been seen as a friend to Latinos because of some of his work on immigration. Where does that vote look now?
Obama created, these are perfect questions. Obama created an ad which some say was unfair. It used Rush Limbaugh's comments and applied them to John McCain in terms of immigration. John McCain actually has a relatively moderate position on immigration. The Latino vote, even though some thought that there would be a division between the African-American and Latino community in politics in 2008, there isn't. Latinos are preferring Barack Obama to John McCain by better than 2-1, and that is why a state like New Mexico has moved clearly into the Obama camp, and Nevada, which I think may be the critical state in this election, even though it's got 5 electoral votes, that state, McCain had been leading until 2 weeks ago. All the latest polling shows a narrow Obama lead.
And another segment, white working class women. Sarah Palin was supposed to be, you know, the magic elixir with that voting sector. What about it?
Well, first off, I don't believe that there's a single person who is listening to this interview right now on your network who would have anything nice to say about Sarah Palin. She is not the NPR cup of tea, so to speak.
Do you have something nice to say about her? How's she working in the polls?
What she has done is she has energized the Republican base that never really liked John McCain that much. He was everyone's second choice. Sarah Palin has given those people a reason to vote. She has taken rallies where there would be 2,000 to 5,000 people when she shows up. The rally is 20,000 to 30,000 people, sometimes even more.
So how's she doing in the polls among white working class women?
Still not great, because while she has energized the Republican base, she has not won the disaffected Hillary Clinton voter who, up until about 2 weeks ago, did not want to vote for Barack Obama. So in a polling stand, in a net equation, she's cost more votes than she has brought, but she has energized Republican voters that were not energized up to this point.
Frank, I've got to say, I've seen a lot of Republicans coming out with big questions on Sarah Palin as well. What about the Ronald Reagan story? You know, we see people looking back saying 1980, Reagan was way, way down until the end of October against Jimmy Carter, and he won. Is that relevant here?
It is relevant and not. First off, that was 28 years ago, and politics has changed. The way we view politics, it was before cable news. It was before 24/7 politics. And secondly, the economy still is weak. This is a very unpopular president. The Republican Party is losing by 11 points in a generic ballot. Who would you rather have occupy the White House? By 11 points, Democrats have an advantage. And so the wind is in John McCain's face. It was not that way. It was exactly the opposite for Ronald Reagan. Does it mean that McCain could still win? Yes. Does it mean that a comeback is likely? I don't think so.
So, bottom line, if you had to characterize the polls and John McCain, bad, very bad, very, very bad?
Keep going.
That bad?
And tonight is going to determine it. Tonight, depending on John McCain does, you can pretty well have... make a conclusion over who's going to win after tonight's debate.
Frank Luntz, Chairman and CEO of Luntz Meslansky Strategic Research. Frank, thank you very much for being with us.
It is a pleasure.
Joining me right now from Boston is Jonathan Kaufman, Senior Reporter for the Wall Street Journal. He's been out covering the campaign. Jonathan, welcome to On Point. Great to have you with us.
Thank you, Thomas. Good to be here.
Just had a story out from you. Kokomo, Indiana. Indiana in play, very surprisingly, no doubt, to the McCain campaign in this election. What are you seeing on the campaign trail that might put some meat on the bones of these polls that are looking so bad for John McCain, Jonathan?
Well, one of the things I'm seeing is that I first went to Kokomo about 3 or 4 weeks ago, speaking to these white working class women who are so pivotal in this election. And all of them were saying to me, you know, they like Sarah Palin, they were suspicious of Obama, sometimes for racial reasons, sometimes for class reasons. They thought he was an elitist. And they were clearly moving towards McCain and planning to vote for him. And in fact, I wrote a draft of a story that basically said that. Then the financial crisis came, the story got held and held.
Mm-hmm.
And after 3 or 4 weeks, I decided to go back and find out, you know, calling back the exact same women I'd spoken to, and all of them are saying they're still suspicious of Obama, they still like Sarah Palin, and then I said, well, who are you going to vote for? And they said, oh, I'm going to vote for Senator Obama.
Because?
Because I think what they saw over the past 4 weeks was kind of two candidates auditioning for president. It was sort of a dress rehearsal of how you would handle a crisis. And what these women kept on saying over and over again was that Obama seemed to them to be worth the gamble. They felt that McCain had been sort of unsure in his response. They didn't like the fact that one moment he was saying the fundamentals of the economy were strong, and next, as this woman said to me, we're in the crapper. And so there was a whole sense a lot of them had that, that things had gotten very bad over 4 weeks, and they felt that Obama was worth the risk. They still were suspicious of him, but somehow they felt that he had met a test that, that McCain hadn't. And you've seen that in the polls. Obama has gained, I think, 12 or 15 percentage points among these white working-class women just in 1 month.
If 4 weeks could make that big a difference in the swing toward Obama, could two and almost a half now swing it back the other way, Jonathan?
You know, I don't think so, in part because we've already had two debates, and we've had a real crucible in which I think we've seen both candidates respond. And I think, in a sense, because there's so much confusion about the economy, I think voters are essentially beginning to make judgments on who do they trust more to take us through the next rocky few years. I think the more plans that come out, the specifics may matter less to voters at this point than an image of command and control that the candidates project. And I think at this point, we've had two debates in 4 weeks in which Obama has done very well. I think, as Frank Luntz said, I mean, McCain would have to do everything right, and Obama would have to do a lot of things wrong for things to change. And the one thing Obama has shown throughout this campaign is that he's very disciplined. He stays on message. He can counterpunch when he has to. So I'm not sure that if we're in the bottom of the eighth inning here, that he's going to collapse and allow McCain to come roaring back.
Jonathan Kaufman, please stand by. We're looking at the John McCain campaign. John McCain trailing and running out of time. This is On Point. Talking this hour about the McCain campaign, what hasn't worked and what still might. John McCain way down in the polls as we move into, 2 weeks and change now to Election Day. Jonathan Kaufman of the Wall Street Journal is with us. He's just been out in Indiana looking at the story there. In a moment, we'll be joined by David Winston, but let's listen back to the sound of the McCain-Palin campaign in recent weeks until it turned more strongly just in the last few days to the economy. Things were getting pretty rowdy out there. Here's Sarah Palin in Carson, California, Saturday, October 4th, with the big accusations on Barack Obama.
Our opponent is someone who sees America as imperfect enough to pal around with terrorists who targeted their own country.
Obama palling around with terrorists, and things got hot on the campaign trail. Jacksonville, Florida, Tuesday, October 7th. Crowd reacting here angrily when Sarah Palin said Obama had mischaracterized the U.S. military.
He said, too, that our troops in Afghanistan are just, quote, air raiding villages and killing civilians. I hope Americans know that is not what our brave men and women in uniform are doing in Afghanistan.
Treason, off with his head, kill him even, got shouted out reportedly at some of these campaigns. McCain tried to settle it down in recent days, chiding a crowd here in Lakeville, Minnesota town hall meeting just last Friday for being disrespectful of his opponent.
And we want to fight, and I will fight, but we will be respectful. I admire Senator Obama and his accomplishments. I will respect him, and I want, I want everyone to be respectful, and let's make sure we are.
Let's be respectful, but it got pretty hot out there before that message really emerged. Jonathan Kaufman with the Wall Street Journal with us from Boston, with us from Washington, D.C. right now. David Winston, Republican pollster and strategist, currently advising Minority Leader John Boehner and other congressional GOP leaders. He's served as Director of Planning for former Speaker of the House Newt Gingrich. David Winston, thanks very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Tom.
What did you make of the angry patch in the McCain campaign? It seemed very deliberate. It was very hot. It went on for several weeks. Did it help or hurt? Can we tell with the economy blowing up as it happened?
Well, when the economy is at the level of an issue that it's been, and even prior to this whole bank situation and financial crisis, it was clearly the number one issue. You're off on a topic that is not addressing the specific concerns of the American people. And to some degree, you know, when you're talking about your opponent, it says more about you than it says about your opponent. And I think what the McCain campaign is now discovering that that's the case. There's a new CBS poll out today, and the headline in terms of the analysis was that the attacks have seemed to have backfired on McCain. And that's what happens when you're talking about the agenda that the American people want focused on. You're sort of doing these personal attacks. It didn't work in this case. And it was pretty apparent early on that that's where it was going.
Sarah Palin was very good, maybe too good, maybe way too good at whipping crowds into that kind of anger. Can she be helpful to John McCain in these last couple of weeks with the more economically oriented messages? Does that work from her?
Well, I've been sort of surprised in terms of how the campaign have used her. I mean, here's an individual who is clearly very knowledgeable on the issue of energy. And again, prior to the bank crisis, the financial crisis, I mean, energy was clearly the leading component of the economy. She was also someone who could clearly had attributes to reach out to middle income, married women with children, independents. And instead, they use her to sort of rev up the base. The problem with the Republicans that occurred in 2006 when we lost the House and the Senate was the majority coalition fell apart. And for some reason, you're seeing the campaign finally now recognize this. It's how do you rebuild that majority coalition? What I mean by saying that they're finally recognizing this is you've seen recently in the past couple of days this sort of command focus on the economy. That's the right move. The question is it in time?
Jonathan Kaufman, Sarah Palin, and the anger chapter here. Poll out today saying it really hurt John McCain. Do you see a different role for her, a better role for her? Does drill, baby, drill and Alaska governorship make her an energy maven in a persuasive way?
I mean, I think it certainly could. What I think is interesting, and this is really speculation on my part, but it's clear when you talk to the McCain campaign, there's been a huge internal debate going on about how hard to go after Obama, especially on the Jeremiah Wright material and things like that. And I wonder at some level, one of the things that has always set John McCain apart is that he does have this sense of honor he talks about, and his reputation and image really matters to him. And I wonder if at some level, part of what he's been thinking the past week is, if I'm going to lose, how am I going to lose? Do I want to be the candidate who goes down with people writing that I did everything to defeat Obama, that I tried even to raise racial fears and so forth? McCain has spoken out several times saying he will not use the Jeremiah Wright information. He was very upset, clearly, when John Lewis came out, the civil rights leader and congressman, and accused McCain and Palin of stirring up hatred and invoking George Wallace. That clearly bothered McCain. And so I wonder, from the McCain's point of view, if he's looking at his role in history now and saying that if Obama is the first black president, do I want to go down as someone who tried to pull out all the stops and raise these racial specters at the last minute? I think for Palin, it's slightly different. I mean, she has a role in the campaign, but she also has a role for her own political future. I think she may be running as much for 2012 now as for 2008. And I think her success in stirring up the base and getting people united behind her may actually play very well for her. In other words, she can position herself in the Republican Party 4 years from now saying, I did everything that was asked of me. I went out there. I got the evangelicals back. And that, I think, may sort of figure into her thinking in that being an attack dog, while it may not help the McCain campaign at this point nationally, may actually be helping her in terms of her own future political career.
David Winston, what's your sense of the McCain campaign? Lots of reports of being torn over strategy here in these last weeks and days of the campaign. Still torn over whether to keep the attack up even as he puts out economic plans. Is that settled? What do you think of Jonathan Kaufman's notion that, he's thinking about his legacy and whether, if he may go down, if he wants to go down clean or dirty?
Well, this race, in terms of the attacks that have been sort of generated out of the campaign, do not reflect what I at least thought John McCain, who he was, and my sense is this is not the campaign he wanted to be running. But this has been sort of a dynamic within the Republican Party, excluding John McCain, and this whole dynamic is how effective his attack ads. Sort of attacking your opponent.
It's been pretty fully embraced for quite a while now.
Well, no. Absolutely agreed. It's one of the reasons why the majority coalition in the Republican Party fell apart. Ultimately, people want to vote for something. When you have a situation where the wrong track, and that's the real important number here, the wrong track being where 70% or 80% of the country think that the country is headed in the wrong direction, they want to hear what you're going to do. Obama may have, had friendship with theirs. Interesting, but how's that going to help me deal with my health care problems, pay for my mortgage? Right now, the American people are focused on just how do I keep my family going? And the question is the McCain campaign at this point addressing those concerns? And what you see them doing is instead they're attacking Obama. up until recently. I think this transition, like I said, to the economy is the right move, but it's coming at a point in time that may be too late. Now, hopefully not, and he's got one more debate here to sort of drive it. But if I may, Tom, one other critical element here.
Mm-hmm.
This campaign has really reached what I would call strategic inflection point. And what I mean by that is everybody's focused on the state to state, but these margins have started to get so large that I believe it's not a state by state race. If I may,
you're talking the margin of Obama's lead in the polls and the national polls.
At the national level. So to give you 2 points of contrast, right now they're saying that in looking at these polls, they range anywhere from 5 to about 10 points. So they're significant leads. To give you some contrast, back in 1996 when Clinton beat Bob Dole by 5 points. He got 379 electoral votes. George Bush Sr. in 1988 won by 8 points and got 426. So you're seeing at this point, and this debate is critical in terms of how this evolves, that this campaign is almost getting to the point where it's not state by state, it's just national, and the McCain campaign has to do something here to sort of stem the tide.
You're saying if the national lead of Obama gets too great, you don't even have to look at the state by state numbers. No. It's just insurmountable.
And you're already seeing that. I mean, look at the states that you're beginning to see the press focus on, North Carolina, Virginia, Indiana. I mean, these are all considered, back in the summer, pretty reliably Republican states. And now all of a sudden they're turning into the toss, the swing states. That's just not a good shift. And as Frank was saying earlier, some of these states that Bush barely won, I mean, they're sort of viewed as almost, solid Obama leads at this point. So I think tonight reflects a key strategic inflection point in terms of can the McCain campaign get things back on track so we don't see this margin get to the point where it'll just overwhelm the state-by-state situation.
We'll talk about what might make that possible, what kind of message from John McCain. Let's go to our listeners first. David Winston, Jonathan Kaufman, stand by. Nikki in Westbrook, Connecticut. Nikki, you're on the air.
Hello. I'm really just calling to respond to the attack tactics comments.
Yeah.
And I just first want to say that I'm very independent-minded. I've never voted a straight ticket for a party line ever. So I really do take individual situations, and I really listen to all this.
Okay.
And I am malleable.
Nikki, are you there? Geez, we got the wind up, but not the pitch. I'm sorry, we lost you, Nikki. Let us know what you think. Let's go to Arman from Greenwich, Connecticut. Arman, you're on the air.
Yes, how are you doing? I'd like to put my 2 cents about this whole campaign.
Let's hear it.
I'm also a Annapolis grad. I'm also a Navy fighter pilot. I was also shot down over Korea, and I was also a POW.
Okay.
Now, who do you think I'm going to vote for?
That sounds like a McCain profile.
Absolutely, but this is the main point why I'm going to vote for McCain. This sort of fellow has been elected a year, and what has he done? What has he accomplished except campaigning? The day he got elected, he started campaigning for the presidency.
So Obama doesn't have the experience argument still resonates for you, Arman?
I wouldn't trust him as far as I can throw him.
How about Sarah Palin? She just fell out of the Alaska wilderness. Has she got what it takes to be president if McCain weren't there?
Absolutely. First of all, she is a female, and we need that in government. We need more appearances of women in government. And she is a governor of a very tough state. I've been in Alaska. It's very, very cold out there.
Yeah, me too. Have you heard her whip up the crowds at Republican campaigns? Is that a good thing for this country, those shouts of off with his head and treason?
Well, I think McCain is the man. He cannot be a treasoner. He cannot commit treason to this country. None of us can. We're American 24/7.
Armand, we've got it. You sound solid for John McCain. With respect for your service, thank you very much for calling. Mark in Acton, Massachusetts, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Noted philosopher Bill Parcells said you are what your record says you are.
Mm-hmm.
And John McCain is the campaign he's running. And the irony here is that he, in the first debate, criticized Obama for not knowing the difference between tactics and strategy. And it's McCain who has been out-strategized. When he picked Sarah Palin, he gave away the clear advantage he had, which was experience, which is what he had been running on for months. And he just forfeited it and decided to run on change. And he gambled that he would be able to present himself as the safer change agent and Obama as too risky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have to ask yourself, given the economic crunch that we're in, how things would be different if he had picked Mitt Romney rather than Sarah Palin. And one last thing on strategy. Obama has been playing chess, and McCain has been playing checkers. And tonight, in that debate, Obama has laid a trap for McCain, which he has no choice but to walk right into. Obama and Biden have said that McCain didn't have the courage, essentially, to raise the heirs charge to his face. And McCain can only do one of two things. If he raises it, then he's going to seem to be petty, mean, and off track, because the American people want to know about what he's going to do about the economy. If he doesn't raise it, then he's confirmed that he's either a coward, which is amazing under the circumstances, or that he really was cynical and didn't really think it was an important point to bring to the attention of the public.
So, Mark, we've got your analysis, and I appreciate it. Jonathan Kaufman, how about on strategy? Who looks like they've been more strategic here?
Well, I have to say, I mean, I do think that Obama has really turned out to be very clever and shrewd in the way he's played this. I mean, if you just even look at the photo opportunities, when the crisis hit, his response was to call a meeting in Florida, come out surrounded by Paul Volcker, Bob Rubin, Larry Summers, this image of gravitas, which I think was designed to respond to this charge that he was inexperienced. The message was, I will summon, you know, leading thinkers, people who have been through crisis before, and take their advice. McCain, by contrast, as we now know, suspended his campaign, restarted his campaign, came out with different proposals, sprung one in the debate. He actually came across as much more impetuous and impulsive, even though he's running on a track record of having more experience. And I think, again, those images end up being very important. I think the maverick idea, the change idea, is a very appealing one and was working very well up until the time this crisis hit. But, you know, it's almost like when you go into a hospital and you're injured, you don't want the doctor kind of looking at your leg and saying, gee, I've never seen that before, and running out and consulting with different people and scrambling around. Even if your doctor is very young, you want him, you know, looking very sage, bringing in senior people and communicating that sense of calm. And I think that, you know, we often talk about whether people appear presidential. I think the consensus is that Obama not only has appeared presidential in the debates, which I think always would have helped him, but he's looked presidential for 4 weeks on television right now. Whereas McCain, again, comes across as being very much operating from his gut, and I'm not sure that's the response that people wanted in an economic time of crisis. They wanted more than gut, and I don't think they've been seeing that from McCain.
David Winston, there's the Wall Street Journal reporter. You're the Republican pollster. What about the sort of public image that McCain is striking here, a gut player when he went down to the hurricane during the convention, and then a gut player in suspending his campaign during the first part of this economic crisis? Is it costing him somehow, or can he still turn it to bold leadership?
Well, one of the major problems that this campaign has had is that it did not sit down and think through what was its broad strategic economic policy. What was McCain's economy going to look like? And they just now are beginning to get to that point. And
but why is that? Is it because Obama's right? Was it going to look pretty much like Bush, so there wasn't a lot to think about?
Because I think this campaign decided that the way the campaign thought it was going to win was that it was going to define Obama, that this was all going to be about Obama. Mm-hmm. And in fact, what it was the public wanting to see what are these two economic policies. And the truly tragic thing for the McCain campaign is this is a center-right country. What I mean by center-right, in the last exit poll in terms of the 2006 election, 32% identified themselves as conservative, 20% as liberal. So there's this slight shift to the right. Mm-hmm. The basic context for the election should favor McCain. But McCain didn't put it on that playing field. He made it personal as opposed to about policy. The one other element that he does need to do as well here, and this has been an important strategic element that he hasn't done, and an example of this is Sarkozy in France was trying to succeed an unpopular president in Chirac, and what he did is he described a clean break from Chirac. To some degree, McCain has faced, he's got to do both these now, the economy and sort of create this image of a clean break and moving forward.
David Winston, Jonathan Kaufman, please stand by. We're talking about John McCain trailing and running out of time. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. We've been talking with David Winston, Republican pollster and strategist, joining us from Washington, and Jonathan Kaufman, senior reporter at the Wall Street Journal, who's been out on the campaign trail most recently in Indiana. We're joined right now from New York by Holly Bailey, Newsweek correspondent, traveling with John McCain on the campaign trail. Holly, thanks so much for taking time to be with us.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So give us a sense of the McCain campaign sort of day to day now. How is it taking on board these very rough poll numbers? And what can we expect in the debate tonight? Anything different? Something?
Well, you know, what's interesting is that the McCain campaign is still very hopeful about where they are. They point out that, you know, in spite of everything, in spite of the environment that Republicans are nationally are in, that John McCain is still in Obama's rearview mirror, as they say. And they point out that this is, you know, still a sort of a center-right country, and that they hope to sort of gain ground on that. It's going to be interesting to see who shows up at the debate tonight in terms of, you know, what McCain does. You know, people have been sort of pushing on him to go tough on Barack Obama, but at the same time, that sort of has backfired, I think, if you look at the polls, and they are aware of that. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if he comes out hitting tough, or he's going to become sort of, you know, focusing more on him and telling people about what he would do as president.
Let's hear the sound of John McCain just yesterday, Bluebell, Pennsylvania, dismissing the idea that this is a done deal, promising to fight to the finish.
Nothing is inevitable. We never give up. We never quit. We never hide from history. We make history. Now let's go win this election and get this country moving.
John McCain yesterday, he says he's not giving up. Holly Bailey, were you there when it got ugly on the campaign trail? Just how ugly did it get? And do you think McCain and Palin will stoke that up again in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, you know, some of the rallies people were standing up in, and it was the most recent one that was interesting was over Friday in Minnesota. You know, Senator McCain was taking questions at a town hall, and people were standing up. A woman stood up and said, you know, I can't support him because he's Arab, and John McCain took the microphone away from her and said, you know, listen, don't say that. You know, that's not true. He's a decent man. You shouldn't be scared if he's elected president. And John McCain got booed by the crowd. And so that's sort of the dilemma they're in. You know, on one hand, they do want the crowds fired up and, you know, willing to go out on election day, but they also are not wanting this ugly side of it to come out. And so, you know, the past couple of days, you know, it has been interesting to see McCain on the campaign trail. The speeches he's been giving, he's been more passionate, and he's been more passionate about himself and not necessarily going after Obama as much. And therefore, we haven't seen some of the ugly sort of crowds that we've seen over the past couple of weeks for him.
And what about Sarah Palin? Has she found a new voice, a new role? She was good, too good at whipping up those crowds, maybe in directions that had a very mobbish tinge. What's she going to do in these last couple of weeks, message-wise?
Well, I think that she's still going to play the sort of traditional role that a vice presidential candidate plays, and that she's going to be the one sort of going on the attack because, you know, that's what she's been doing. But it's interesting, she has sort of dialed back in her stump speech. I mean, most interestingly, she hasn't mentioned Bill Ayers in a couple of days. She's going to be splitting off on her own starting today, I believe. And I think they campaigned together maybe in the final couple of weeks, but she has been sort of dialing back a little bit. I think that the campaign doesn't necessarily want to be, they, like I said, they want to have sort of passion among their supporters, but they don't want some of this ugly stuff to come back and hurt them.
And what about Republicans who have been turning? In recent days, you've had Republicans very critical of Sarah Palin. You know, others saying throughout the whole campaign team and start afresh. You've had folks on Wall Street who have been supporters of John McCain, reportedly peeved at his strong attacks on their greed and so on, and maybe holding back on the purse strings. Is all this hurting McCain?
Well, I think that what's going to be interesting to see, and especially tonight in the debate and the final weeks of this campaign, is, you know, obviously a lot of people have been saying, what happened to the John McCain that we knew? What happened to the John McCain that was sort of the straight talker, the guy that didn't necessarily come out and wasn't always on message and you know, talked to the press more and, you know, put in his words, gave a little bit more straight talk? And I think people are sort of looking for that guy to come back. And so that's the tension here. Is he going to still sort of be, you know, kind of more scripted and safe, or is he just going to, you know, throw it all in the wind and come out and be himself? And that's, I think, what people are looking for. And, you know, it's going to be interesting to see if what happens in the final weeks, if he actually sort of gives into that.
Holly Bailey covering the John McCain campaign for Newsweek magazine. Holly, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
Here's Senator McCain again yesterday, Bluebell, Pennsylvania, turning his focus squarely on the economy, promising to clean up Washington, create jobs.
If I'm elected president, I will help to create jobs for Americans in the most effective way a president can do this, with tax cuts that are directed specifically to create jobs. Create jobs and to protect your life savings. I will stand up, as I have in the past, to the corrupt ways of Washington, the wasteful spending and the abuses of power, and I will end these abuses, whatever it takes.
John McCain yesterday. Jonathan Kaufman, what about the McCain message on the economy when he comes to it? And there he is, tax cut to create jobs. You've been in Indiana talking to people about the economy. Does the McCain message work when he dials up the economy as his focus?
Yeah, I actually think this is one of McCain's big problems, is that, you know, all the polls tell us and all the conversations I think any of us have with voters tell us that the country, in fact, is not, it may say that it's center-right, as was said earlier, but clearly people feel that they want more government intervention, they want more regulation. People are actually, I think, more in a bigger government mood. That things have really changed, I think, in a philosophical sense. And so McCain is somehow trapped because the Republican mantra of deregulation and tax cuts doesn't really cut it anymore. His new plan, you know, tries to, you know, turn tax cuts to the advantage of older people by protecting, lowering taxes on withdrawals from 401ks and so forth. Mm-hmm. But I think he's really sort of fighting upstream here. And I think one of the things that's interesting is that if the polls are right and if the trends continue, we would not only have an Obama presidency, but we could have what looks like an Obama mandate with a Democratic Congress, a Democratic Senate, perhaps 60 senators, Obama maybe winning 350 electoral votes. Then you have to stop and ask yourself, what does that mean? Does this put him in kind of Roosevelt-Reagan territory where he can lead the country in a fundamentally new direction?
Mm-hmm.
Will this empower him more to be more bold? He's usually a very cautious politician, but perhaps he will be more emboldened to make more dramatic changes. You know, when we take the plane up from 5,000 feet to 50,000 mm-hmm. feet and try to look at this historically, there are a lot of things that are historic about this campaign, but one of them may be that this is one of those turning points where the Reagan revolution has sort of spent itself, and are we now entering a period? It's a Republican administration that's talking about bailing out banks.
And doing it, and buying positions in them, nationalizing chunks of them.
Right. So I think that one of the things that the dynamics of the election may create is a situation even different than what Obama expected. I think Obama, as confident as he is, as smart as he is, probably thought, you know, I'll win by 15, 20 electoral votes. I'll grab a couple of those states. You know, maybe I'll do well in a couple of others, and I'll sort of have a George Bush kind of victory, or a Jimmy Carter kind of victory. But if he actually ends up with a mandate, there are going to be pressures on him from a Democratic Congress, from his Democratic supporters, and he then may be emboldened to be more move the country more in a direction away from what we've seen over the past 8 years than even he first anticipated.
David Winston, give us a Republican perspective on that angle. Terrifying days, literally terrifying days in the economy and markets recently, and people responding very strongly to that, including the Republican administration now in power. If the American public want a big change, can the GOP, McCain, make that turn? And is the possibility of a sort of Obama with mandate going to be appealing for American voters or frightening?
Well, there are a lot of questions in there, Tom.
Mm-hmm.
Let me sort of parse that apart. Let me start off with a basic concept in terms of where the public is at in terms of McCain's policies. The public doesn't want more taxes. They don't necessarily embrace larger government. They would prefer less taxes, smaller government, because the problem they're facing, they don't perceive as national. They're just trying to sort of meet their day-to-day situation. And so I think to some degree there is some appeal there. The problem that McCain has had as he's approached
you mean tax cuts and smaller government as the fundamental message can still work, even when Obama's saying, I'm not going to raise your taxes except for the
war. Well, no, and I will tell you that one particular message that Obama's been driving, you can argue whether he can meet that policy or not, but the message itself has been quite powerful, which is why you've seen it on virtually every single Obama ad. I mean, he's really trying to drive that point home. But it is this kind of, so the concept that the country suddenly wants to go to larger government and is willing to pay more taxes.
Well, they want somebody minding the store, though, right? I mean, Wall Street's just cost everybody a bundle.
And now, and now you've gotten to the other aspect. The problem they've had is, to a large degree, and you can go back to Katrina, there's this sort of lack of faith in government at the moment. And so government isn't necessarily the answer, but they're looking for someone who's going to sort of manage that. But where the public's really at this point, and this is the challenge to both campaigns, and this is where I still think McCain has this opportunity, what the public really wants is, they want someone in that lead position who they fundamentally believe understands the problems they're facing. And one of the elements, when you get back into this sort of tit-for-tat, you know, throwing mud at each other, what people hear is the traditional partisanship that has just really frustrated them. So, I disagree with Jonathan a little bit in terms of, I still think it's a center-right country that would prefer those elements. You know, that's why I'm a Republican, right? Mm. But I do think that what you're seeing at this point is, there's a general frustration, particularly in terms of the way the Republican side has approached the discourse in this campaign.
Let's go to Deborah in Gloucester, Massachusetts. Deborah, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Hi. I've just been listening with great interest, and I have been watching the campaign with great interest. Mm-hmm. I think this country needs both of these men. I think they are both good, intelligent men, and I'm hoping if Obama wins, he's already demonstrated that he knows he doesn't know everything, and he knows how to attract good people to his side to advise him. And I really hope that if he wins, that he asks McCain to be something as important as Secretary of State, and I hope McCain is gracious and brave enough to say yes.
You think he'd do it? He didn't put Hillary Clinton on the ticket with him. The
Nobody
maverick McCain
that was going to work. He would have been dating Bill, too.
Deborah, we got it. There's a vote for both. Of course, it has to go one way or the other, but thanks very much for your call. Art's calling from Smyrna, South Carolina. Art, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Great show.
Thank you.
You know, I'd like to mention a couple of things. First is that children, even young children and young people, are very perceptive and observant.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah Palin, and by association, John McCain, calls herself a soccer mom, which implies to me that she is teaching the values of good sportsmanship, honesty, integrity, and fair play.
Okay.
I would like to ask the Republicans and the Democrats, how are they teaching these values by their example? That's the first.
You're not seeing it on the campaign trail, you're saying?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Now, the second thing is, anyone can die at any age. Each candidate should be asked to explain the qualifications of their vice presidential candidate to be president. That's the second point that the question should be answered. The third one is, the gentleman just said that Sarah Palin, working with the Republican Party, is positioning herself for 2012, and to quote him, doing what she's asked by the party. If she's doing what she's asked by the Republican Party, then they are dishonest and dirty politicians and doing a terrible job. And I think this is the Republican Party. This has been what they stand for, and this is what they are.
All right, we hear where you're coming from in Smyrna, South Carolina. Of course, not everybody sees it that way, but we've got you loud and clear. David Winston, how about it? Does the Palin nomination, there was so much flurry about it, it brought on so much enthusiasm, but does it end up being that strategic mistake? Was it a cheap thrill that's now really costing John McCain? You got Matthew Dowd, who was, of course, a George W. Bush strategist, very key in the 2004 campaign, quoted today saying, just scorching on Palin. Here saying McCain knows that in his gut, and when this knows that it was a big mistake, he says, Dowd, when this race is over, that's something he'll have to live with. He put somebody unqualified on that ballot, and he put the country at risk. That's George W. Bush's chief strategist from 2004 talking there. Was it a strategic error in the end, David?
It was a strategic error in terms of how they used her. I mean, she was governor of a significant state, that the major element of the state in terms of its economy is energy.
600,000 people. It's a big state.
In terms of the economic impact it has on the country, there are a variety of different things.
Mm-hmm.
But my point is, if you were bringing her on because this was a woman who understood energy and you wanted somebody who very specifically could help in terms of that issue and the overall executive experience, fine. But what they did is they brought her on, and then they tried to turn her into sort of a traditional sort of base-oriented Republican, as opposed to sort of reaching out to some of the groups she had the potential. I think they brought her on, and she was immediately miscast into a role that she was going to struggle with.
Boy, I wonder. I mean, you listen to those interviews, though, some of them, and some of the gibberish that she stumbled into. Anybody could do that, but still, I'm not sure I heard that other character on display there.
No, I don't think you did, and I think that's part of the problem. I mean, Sarah, you know, where is Sarah Palin? And listening to her talk about her concept of what needs to be done in terms of energy in this country, you haven't heard that at all. What you've heard is sort of the pitch of the base. And again, one of the problems the Republican Party has had is since 2006 is the sort of recognition that we lost our majority coalition. Neither party can win with its base. You have to build a broad majority coalition. And so revving up the base is interesting, but ultimately what you need to do is figure out how do you get those group, those key groups, married women, children, independents, Catholics, sort of pulled together to build a majority coalition. And that has not been the focus in terms of how they've used her.
Mm. Jonathan Kaufman, our time is short here. We've just got a minute. Keep that sound of Indiana in our ear. Of course, solidly Republican year after year, and this time in play. Tell us again what you were hearing from the people you talked to there about how they're weighing this.
What I heard was that it wasn't about negative ads, it wasn't about ad buys, it wasn't about micro-targeting, it was about big issues. It was about an economic tsunami that sort of swept in 4 weeks, and I think suddenly made people realize this is a big election about big things, and when they looked at the candidates, they were actually asking the right questions. They were asking, who had policies that would make things better for me? Who can I trust in the Oval Office? Now, whatever decision they come to, Republican or Democrat, I actually came away thinking that this is one of those situations, like when Americans are on juries, they often come to the right decision. This seems to be an election where people actually are now focusing on the big thing because of the economic crisis, and it's cutting through a lot of the sort of tactical issues that maybe the candidates have been focusing up to now. It does feel like a big election to me.
Big as they get. Jonathan Kaufman, recently back from Kokomo, Indiana, for the Wall Street Journal. Jonathan, it's always great to have you with us. Thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And David Winston, Republican pollster and strategist. David Winston, thank you very much for being with us from Washington.
Pleasure.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.